This episode is brought to you by Benton Integrative Medicine, a concierge membership-based medical practice offering direct primary care, functional medicine, hormone and sexual health, and wellness and vitality programs.
At Benton Integrative Medicine, they look beyond symptoms to uncover root cause solutions, helping patients restore balance, energy, and well-being through a comprehensive and personalized approach.
Their team believes in medical freedom, informed choice, and patient autonomy, empowering you to take charge of your health with a trusted partner by your side. Learn more at bentonintegrative.com and discover how integrative care can help you thrive, body, mind, and soul. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly.
And Amy.
And Kristen.
And today we have joining with us a guest we have wanted to talk to for a long time because, quite honestly, she knows so much more about this topic than we do. And I would consider her a true expert in the subject of real ID. How many of you have been getting the pressure, whether you're traveling, going to renew your driver's license, you're basically being told, well, I'm going to paraphrase, you can't live in the United States and do anything if you don't have a real ID. And those of us who are willing to read the fine print, which I would guess are not most Americans, we've been able to figure out things like, hey, if I just travel with my passport, I don't have to have a real ID. Why would I need a federal ID when I have a state issued driver's license? And in my case, or my family's case, we have passports. Why do we need one more thing? They've been threatening with this whole thing to all of us Americans for years now, saying, hey, you're going to need to get this real ID. Your driver's license isn't going to work for federal identification. And I know all of us are like, make that make sense. Well, my just initial gut reaction, I know Kristen and Amy can talk about theirs, was, why does the federal government need an ID when I have a state-issued ID? And what happened to states' rights, right? Like, I'm not a big government girl. I like governing down to the lowest level and then keeping the federal government as small as possible. So just my gut inclination has been, I don't want to get that. But I think now when we went through 2020 and there was threats of a vaccine passport, that I started to go, what are they trying to do here? And so Twyla Braze is the founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, which, as you guys know, just listen to the name of her organization, you know it's right up our alley. And she is the one who has really been sharing more information, and her organization has been sharing information that's what we've been learning about Real ID and what we all need to do. Okay, so it's not just what you're gonna do after you finish listening to this conversation for you and your families, but what we need to do when it comes to talking to our legislators to make sure we are not going to be stuck with some federal ID. So Twilight, thank you so much for being with us today. And can you just basically, let's just start with who you are and how you got involved with CCHF, and then how you, it kind of led you to this whole rabbit hole down to the real ID.
Right. So I'm a registered nurse and a co-founder and president of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. I've been doing this work for about 31 years. And so our mission is to protect patient and doctor freedom. And so one of the pieces about patient and doctor freedom is privacy. So we say he who holds the data makes the rules. The other thing that we will say is that privacy is the foundation of freedom. And so if you don't have privacy, you don't have freedom. And everybody in a communist country, everybody under a dictatorship, they know that they aren't free. And one of the ways that they know they aren't free is because they are the watched. They are under surveillance. All the data is being taken from them. And so the reason that we're in Real ID it's kind of interesting because I'm in Minnesota. Our organization is in Minnesota, but we work nationwide on health freedom issues and privacy issues. But in 1997, the Minnesota governor decided to have a MIN card, and it was going to be a card issued by the government, and it would be access to your medical records. It would be access to your phone, access to driving, access to your bank. And that was the first time. I mean, we were really new as an organization, but I testified against that bill because I could sort of see the future. It wasn't a good future, right? So, anyway, but then when Real ID came out, and Real ID was passed by the federal government in 2005. I didn't know when it happened, but I got wind of it in 2007, 2008, when the legislature was asked to pass it. And here was this card that the federal government was saying that the states had to pass. And so worked against it then, and then worked against it again when it comes out up with Obama. And that's when the American public really got to know about Real ID, was in 2015, 2016, when he said you won't be able to fly in 2016 if you don't have a Real ID. So we fought it to the mat in Minnesota, won the first year, lost the second year. And then, and now here we are again, and they're trying to bring it to an end. They're trying to get everybody else who doesn't have one into it. And it's a Republican administration, which is kind of a surprise. But the fact of the matter is they're using fear, they're using lies, and now they're using fines in order to try to get people into this federal ID. Okay. I don't know if that's sufficient, or if you'd like me to explain the, you know, how we view the Real ID.
Well, I think, yeah, explaining that, like, so for somebody who knows nothing, like, what's so bad about having a Real ID? What does that mean? What are the negatives?
And what is it, right? To maybe just clarify to our listeners, because I'm sure people have seen it, or but if they're like me, you know, some of that stuff's just like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So my guess is that most people have it in their pocket and they don't know that they have it in their pocket. That when the last time that they went to the driver's license bureau and they to renew, they weren't even asked whether they wanted a Real ID. So, you know, depending on where, how far your audience reaches here, there are five states who don't give you a choice at all. Texas, Georgia, Florida, Wyoming, and Mississippi, and all of them Republican states.
Yes. So, red states.
Yeah. So let's just talk about what the thing is. So it is, so on the floor of the U.S. Senate in 2005, Senator Lamar Alexander from Tennessee, he said, this is a national identification card, and America has never done this before, and we should have a public debate. But it was attached to a must-pass national defense spending bill. And so they didn't, they had a debate on the floor, but that was it. They didn't even have a debate like a regular hearing in the Senate. It just came onto the floor and was passed. And so it's a national identification card. It's under federal control. And I like to say it's a federal ID masquerading as a state driver's license. Mm. So most people, when they look at this, they, you know, I ask people, you know, just pull out your ID. Tell me what it looks like. And most of them will say, well, it's, you know, just like a state driver's license. And I'll say, does it have a star? If it's a star card, or in the state of Washington, a flag card, it's a Real ID. Which means that it's a federal ID masquerading as a state driver's license. The government has essentially taken over the DMVs. The DMVs are now issuing federal IDs. They're not telling anybody that that's what it is. And the federal ID, you have to understand sort of the underpinnings of it. So right now it just looks like a state driver's license with a card. And most people think, well, that just makes it a little bit more secure. And they're, you know, they're not worried about it at all. But they don't understand where it's going, and they don't understand what's happening. So around the country, states are moving to digital IDs. Mm-hmm. And what the DMVs have testified to Congress is that they plan to digitize the Real ID, put it on our phones, and have remote real-time access to it. This, of course, means that your ID can be shut off anytime that the government is upset with you. All they have to do is call up the DMV and say, turn it off. We, you know, just shut down their ID. And then what will you do? Right. And so that's where this is moving. What the states will say is that it's voluntary. But what the DMVs told Congress is, yes, we're going to start out, you know, with probably having to have digital and hard cards, but eventually it will be 100% digital. Okay, so that's the digital part about that you need to know about it. The next part you need to know is that it's a biometric is required. So under the Real ID rule, you have to have a digital version of a facial photograph. So it's biometrics. And so that means that they capture the digital points of your face. And how you have to understand that is that they're building essentially a national facial recognition system in this country, in America, and you aren't even being told that. It also means that the government has laid a claim. They have, you know, claimed a right to collect and catalog the coordinates of your body for their control. This is a violation of the Fourth Amendment, but you aren't even understanding. You're just stepping in front of a camera and you're not thinking about it. Well, the other thing to understand is what the law says. So the law says that the official purposes of a Real ID are access to federal facilities, nuclear facilities, and commercial airlines. And then it adds these words, and any other purposes that the secretary shall determine. So now what you see is that it could be anything. Yep. And you know, here we are as a health freedom organization, and some of your listeners and viewers are probably going, what on earth are we hearing about Real ID from a health freedom organization? Why are they even in this space? I believe that if they cannot convince everybody to get a Real ID by using flight, right now they're using flight, you won't be able to fly. Not true, but they're still using it. The next thing that they'll do is say, well, you know, 47% of all healthcare expenditures are paid for through the government, local, state, federal. So let's require the Real ID for access to medical care. Now, everybody does not have to fly, but everybody needs access to a doctor.
Yeah.
And so what you have to see with that law is they could start with medical care. They could start with access to ammunition, the ability to buy a gun, to go to college, to apply for a job, to open a bank account, to access your bank account. Anything that the Secretary of Homeland Security decides, and that secretary does not have to go to the president, does not have to go to Congress. And so this is a unilateral authority by one person who can expand it to any use that you can even imagine. So now what we're looking at here is a federal ID that becomes a digital domestic passport under biometric control. And if you just pull all those things together, what you should be seeing is the scenes that you saw in China during COVID, when all these Chinese people with their phones were controlled by their phones. They got to go get groceries or they didn't. They got to go into their home or they didn't. They got to leave their home or they didn't. It was all controlled by the phone. So what we're really doing here with Real ID is setting up a foundation for a social credit system, or as England is contemplating, a carbon credit system. So they can see what you buy. You know, every time when you have a digital ID established by the government, every time you pull it out to use it, it pings the government. It pings the government. So they'll know, are you at the concert? Are you at the grocery store buying something? Are you buying gas? You know, are you entering some, you know, wherever you are, right? They can know where you are. They can know what you're buying. And they can know who you're with because it pings. So both of you buy at a restaurant buying food, right? Both paying the bill, ping, ping. Okay. So now you understand, you know, what Real ID really is and where it can go. But if you think even further, you can realize that it can become the VAX passport. It can be connected and become part of a global identification system. And that's what they wanted to do with the VAX passport. They intended to connect up with a global vaccine passport system. So it's all about building this. And once it's digitized and once it's under federal control, they can simply add centralized digital bank currency. And now they can also not only turn off your ID, they can turn off your money.
Yeah.
Which so is it's a real dangerous place that we're going here.
Well, for anyone that thinks this just sounds like 1984 and that it's not a real, an imminent threat, just look at what happened in Canada, which is pretty much a socialist country, right? At this point, I mean, Canada's a disaster. But what happened in Canada when those truckers were protesting, remember? And they were going into their bank accounts and freezing their bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And this is when you talk about government overreach and government control. And don't think it can't happen here, because look at 2020 and how many people complied with illegal mandates. Mm-hmm. They complied. Businesses and people complied with the rules, because this is what happens. And it's so psychology 101. If you just keep telling people, hey, just take this next step and then you can have all of this. People are just so incentivized to just do the little inconvenient thing to be not inconvenienced later. But you don't realize you are incrementally giving up your rights and freedom for momentary convenience.
Well, even though you do, even if you do realize it, it's happening anyway. Twyla, Kristen has a new driver, 16-year-old daughter. I have a 17-year-old son, and my 15-year-old just got his permit. Never once did they ask us anything about the real ID. We were ready to say absolutely not, but they just didn't even say anything. All three of them have a star on their card.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Like, I'm just mad.
I just renewed mine online, Amy. So I just renewed my driver's license in the state of North Carolina. And it did ask me if I wanted it to be real ID or not, and I declined.
Right.
So isn't that weird?
Me. I feel like they asked me too. When I had to get my ID there. They asked me, but for the young kids.
For the new. I bet it's for new.
Right there, and they did not ask. Like, what is that about?
Oh, I think, you know, I think it's rogue DMV agents. It's also an assumption, right? Everybody wants to fly. They would assume that your children would want to fly. They're not going to, they're trying to get a single system. They don't really like this idea of having the standard state driver's license here and the real ID here and giving you a choice. They would just as soon have one. And they make an assumption that, of course, everything is going out over their airwaves that's saying you need a real ID to fly. So why wouldn't you want a real ID, right? That is an assumption. And they may or may not understand exactly where the entire system is going. But I also have to say that there are rogue agencies and rogue agents. And we did discover that during the time between 2009, when there were about 25 states that said, no, we will not comply with Real ID, they realized it was a usurpation of states' rights and 10th Amendment. So they said to the federal government, we're not going to do it. So between that time and late 2015, when President Obama yelled from the rooftops that you won't be able to fly in 2016, and it, you know, took over the country and the news broadcasted everywhere. During that time, those 7 years, the DMV, the Homeland Security Real ID Office, which at that time had only five staff, realized that they could start working direct with the DMVs in each state. So even though the state had said, no, we will not comply with Real ID. No, we will not take any money for Real ID. No, we're not going to go anywhere. Real ID folks in the federal government started working directly with DMV agents who were going behind the backs of their governors, behind the backs of state legislators who said it's prohibited in the state. And they were just saying things like, oh, we'll just give you money, you know, to increase the photo, you know, the photography of the driver's license, right? So by the time that President Obama announced that and the next mandate, as it were, to move forward with Real ID, or the next push to move forward with Real ID happened in 2016, 2017, and 2018. By that time, a lot of those states were 95% of the way to full compliance, even though their legislators had laws against it, even though the governors came out against it. And the article that we read that told us about this, one of the DMV agents said, we had to be careful. We had to be careful so that we didn't embarrass our governor, who had said that he's not going to move that direction.
Oh my God.
So this is rogue DMVs. And I think there are rogue DMV agents today, because if you go to our special website on this, which is refusereal.id.org, refusereal.id.org, at the very bottom of that website is a map. And it's a map that's has all the states in some variation of red. And so we're having people get themselves out of the real ID, go back to a state driver's license and register that they have done it. Well, we're also asking people to register that they tried, but they weren't able to succeed. So the interesting thing is to look at the statistics about that, because we can see that people who are in states where they were told no, there are people on our map that were told yes. So now if it's a law or a rule within their state, nobody would be able to make the switch. But some people are able to make the switch and other people are not able to make the switch. So I think it is DMV agents decided they're not going to let people make the switch.
So is this something where we could go back? I mean, once you have it, is there any going back? Like, could we go back with our kids and say, take this freaking star off of our license? We don't want this. But then, I mean, how do you know that they, I mean, the information's already there, right? I mean, I don't know. I just,
yeah, it's not about that. It's okay. Not about the information that you gave when you got the real ID. It's about what happens later. It's about how all that information will now be collected.
Okay.
And all the pinging, you know, to the government for where you are and what you're buying and all of that. The fact that it will be all part of a facial recognition system that's based on the real ID. So they don't want to have it based on the state driver's license. Their whole plan is that this entire system will be based on the real ID. So if you refuse to get the real ID, they cannot turn the switch and mandate it and move forward to where they want to go. Now, Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey, he said, and I think very accurately, that you do not know what they plan to do with real ID until all of you are in it. So the real important thing is to not get in it. Do not worry about the data that you have given, the extra data or documents that you have given. It's possible that you can get your legislators to require them to be destroyed. So there are different things that we're like working with legislators on and in different states to try and undo some of the damage, to try and give you back your rights, to like say that you can't be required to have a biometric photo entered into a government database, you know, that kind of a thing. But you just have to think about what's happening in the future and where it's going and act on that basis.
Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
Okay. So can we, so then could we, do we have a leg to stand on if we wanted to go back into the DMV and say, we want to remove this license from the Real ID, or is that what we say? Or
all you have to say is, I don't want this Real ID. Give me back a state driver's license.
Okay. Okay.
And then it won't only remove the star. It will also put some special language that says something like, not acceptable for federal identification, or not acceptable for real ID purposes. It depends on your state what the language is.
Right. That's what mine said.
But yeah. The thing is to go get the passport and the passport card. Because if you're worried about not being able to fly, take away that worry, be able to sleep at night, get the passport and the passport card. Now, I'll answer the question that some of your listeners will have, and that is like, well, what's the big difference? Because that's a federal ID too. Well, the big difference is they're not planning to build this facial recognition system, this domestic digital passport based on the passport that you use to go in and out of the country. That's not what they're planning to do. And they're certainly not planning to do it based on your passport book. But there's also the passport card, which is the same size as an identification card or, you know, a driver's license. And that will get you not only around the United States, it'll get you to Mexico, to Canada, and to some of the islands. And so you don't want to lose your passport book in case you're going to, you know, fly suddenly to, you know, England or wherever you want to go. But so I would suggest just getting the passport card and using that instead.
Okay. I do want to say that girl at the DMV, she knew that we didn't want it because I was with my daughter and I had to get my driver's license renewed that day. Like I had to go in because I had already done it online the previous time. So they make you go in. So I'm like, she can't be playing dumb like that. We didn't know. She knew that if I didn't want it, that my daughter didn't. So that is really a pain in the butt. And then it's a pain in the butt because who wants to go back to the DMV?
Right.
Nobody. Nobody wants to call. Nobody wants to go. So they make it very difficult. And I also want to make this point, and then I have a question for you about the airport. But like when I just want everybody to hear, because it can seem to some people that it could be just something. Obviously, now that we've heard everything Twyla said, you see how bad and sideways this can go and the direction it can go. But it can sound extreme, like, oh my gosh, y'all were just thinking worst case scenario, you know, all this stuff. But just think about what they did over COVID, not even with just the vaccines. And thankfully for those of us who didn't comply, but even the masks, everybody think about where we would be if people didn't refuse to wear the masks. That seemed like such a simple thing. Just throw on grandma's underwear over your face and you'll be protected and you're complying like everybody else. Just be the little student and the little sheep and go along with it. It's harmless. It's not invasive. That's what so many people were like, well, it's not going to hurt anybody, but it will. It was the first step in something that could, the ripple effect and a bad ripple effect that could have happened. And this is where I think this is almost scarier because it's not in the news. Nobody's talking about it. And everybody who is talking about it is making it not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody needs to know how big of a deal this is and how big of a deal it can be. Nobody wants to, and you also have to ask the question, why do they need all of this? Just like this leads into my next question. When you're at the airport and they ask for your stupid picture, I'm like, I'm giving you my picture right here. Why? I always decline that extra picture because again, is that not the biometrics and everything? And I remember the airport guy, he was like, well, you know, they already have your picture. I'm like, exactly. So why do they need this one? You know, he's sitting here saying, it's no big deal. Why not just get your picture? And so can you touch on that? Because isn't it pretty much very similar, same situation?
Yeah. So I think there's at least two things at the airport. So I'll talk about that, but then I'll talk about the $45 fee.
Yes, I want to talk about that too. That was my next one.
Yes. So this whole thing about that camera that's there, I think it's there for several reasons. One is to desensitize everyone to having their biometrics taken. You know, people are just, they're like sheep. They're all like sheep. They're, you know, I sit there and I say, absolutely not. You know, I just say, I'm opting out. And the next person just walks up and doesn't even think about why would she opt out. There are signs that say opt out, but most people aren't even reading them. And then people just think it's a picture. So I think there's several things happening. I think it's taking a picture of you to compare with your license, whatever card that is, right? And teaching the machine to recognize you with a different hairstyle, with a different collar, with a different hat, with, you know, different makeup, plastic surgery, hair back, hair down, beard, no beard, whatever, right? So it's really for the facial recognition system. It's really teaching the computer how to recognize you. I heard or I read once that they need 50 points on your face, digital points. I think, you know, they tell you that they're getting rid of the picture.
Yes.
Right? They say that. Well, then they might be getting rid of the picture, but are they getting rid of the points? Mm-hmm. The collection of the digital points. I'm not sure. So I'm not sure of many things, but I know, you know, what the technology can do. So you have to think about what the technology can do. And understand that this is a violation. This is, there are Democrats and Republicans in Congress who have a bill called the Traveler Protection Privacy Act. So there's a lot of disagreement about these cameras, but there's a lot of people who are just sheep and don't understand what's going on. And so I think it is desensitization. I think it's teaching the computer. I think it's grabbing the digital points. But it's strengthening the facial recognition system. Now, the other thing you need to understand is who's doing this. So next time you're in the airport, look at the equipment around the TSA agents. It probably says IDEMIA, IDEMIA. IDEMIA has a $46 million contract with the TSA. They also have multi-million dollar contracts with four other agencies, including Customs and Border Patrol. And so they're a French company. And what they say that they want to accomplish, their goal is augmented authentication, which means you will never have to take a piece of paper ever again with you. Your body will be your ID, whether that's your face, your palm, your fingerprint, your gait, that means how you walk, your iris, you know, all of that put together. The Real ID rule says that we're starting, or they are starting with a facial, the facial geometry. But they say they could add other biometrics in the future. And so Colorado and Oklahoma already have a thumbprint included. So they've got two biometrics on their Real ID. So, you know, the airport has become a battle zone. Now, most people don't look at it like that, but for those of us who know, it's a battle zone. So let me just give you some things to know about how to deal with the TSA. So first of all, notice the signs as you go up, which very clearly say you can opt out. Now, mm-hmm. It might say so in the bottom paragraph, or it might say so on the top paragraph, but it says that you can opt out. To make it easier on you and to decrease the pressure that they will exert on you, you should say, I'm opting out before you ever hand them your card. Because if you hand them your card, whether it's a Real ID or a passport or whatever it is, you hand them your card. So all we're talking about is the photo at this point. You hand them your card, they put it in the machine, and then they will tell you, stand in front of the camera. And if you say, I'm opting out, they'll tell you, oftentimes, you can't opt out. You should have said that before you gave me your card. Now, there's nothing that says you have to speak before you give the card. But they will say that because they have to rejigger their machine if you didn't say so in the beginning. And some will claim you can't opt out. They even did that with a U.S. senator and forced him. So now he's part of the bill, the Traveler's Privacy Protection Bill. He's an author of that bill. But also in Washington, D.C., they have signs that are about this big now that look like stop signs. And it says, like in yellow, if you're going to opt out, tell us before you give us your card. And that's probably because that's the airport he uses.
I have never had an issue with it because I do think it is, once I started learning some of this stuff, it is nerve-wracking because the airport just going through all of this stuff is already like, you know, it's a pain in the butt. And so then if like you don't want to be this one, this outcast, this one that's like, you know, going against the system or anything like that. But y'all, it really is, aside from maybe some of these circumstances, Twyla, because I have, thankfully, I have not run into this. And we've traveled quite a few times, even with family recently. And it was just as simple as I'm opting out. And they're like, okay. Like, it was very simple. So don't think that it's this big to do. Like, oh, we got somebody over here who's opting out. You know, like, it is not.
Well, it might come to that, though.
It might come to that. Yes. So go ahead.
Yeah, because I accidentally handed it to them, my boarding pass and my card at the same time. He put it in. And I said, I'm opting out. He goes, you can't. I said, I can. He says, you cannot. I said, yes, I can.
Yeah.
He didn't know who he was messing with.
Yeah, he did not
know. he said, you will never be able to do this again. And I'm like, oh, you are so funny. Like, I'm ever going to run into you and you're ever going to remember me. Yeah, you're just, you know, a power trip going on here, right?
And they do have that. But, you know, I do think in our local airport, we got someone on a power trip big time. That is just like, these are people who never had an ounce of recognition or power in their lives, apparently. And the minute they can just be a pain in your tail, you know, in the TSA line, they take that chance. But I do have a question because we are frequent travelers in our household, which is why we have the passports and we have global entry and we have TSA pre-check, which meant that years ago when we were traveling in and out of the country, instead of waiting in the Atlanta airport for 2 hours to go through customs, we could get fast tracked because we'd given our fingerprints and gone through the questioning of, are you a terrorist? Now, I'm going to back up a minute. And at the time, I didn't think anything of that because I'd gone through 9/11. In 9/11, they passed the Patriot Act. And a lot of people way back then said, hey, that Patriot Act is a bad idea. Yeah. And I can remember in my 20s thinking, what's the big deal? If you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care if the government knows what you're doing? Oh my gosh, what a crazy thing to think. Now, right now, in my mature self, and I know how evil people can get, absolute power corrupts, absolutely, right? Like, we don't need to give anything or anyone too much power. It's not good for them. Now I'm like, what did I do? Because they have this information. What do you say to that, Twyla?
Well, I say for global entry, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit of the whole passport thing. It's getting you in and outside of the country.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
TSA pre-check, you give your fingerprints away. We did a report on IDEMIA. I'm sure it's the only one in the entire country. We found out that IDEMIA says they get rid of the fingerprints once they have verified that you're not a criminal. So assuming that is true, nobody's got those fingerprints.
Okay, good.
Okay. But now you need to understand about the new traveler program for $45, right? Mm-hmm. So understand what this is. Understand that this is really punitive. The intent is to get you to bow to the real ID to get you in. Because the rationale, as they see it, is that they say that the law allows them to create traveler programs that they can charge for. And then they mention TSA. I think this was in their notice, the November 20th notice. But TSA PreCheck, it costs about $85, I think, or $89 for 5 years of travel. And Global Entry is $120 for 5 years of travel. This is $45 for 10 days of travel. And if you dare to travel for 2 weeks, you will have to go, you will have to pay the $45 coming and going. And not only that, but there's a biometric and biographical screening. So you're going to be put in a special line to have your picture taken, to have your information looked at. And they don't guarantee that you will be able to fly, that you will be able to fly, or that you will be able to make your plane in time. So this is all meant to make you afraid and to make you submit. And so they're imposing pain to get you to submit. And so this is where you have to understand, I mean, I think somebody needs to sue them and say, this is not a traveler problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes. There needs to be a lawsuit.
This is a penalty. This is a fee. There was no public warning. There was no public comment. You didn't do it through regulations. You just put it out there as though you could. And so we will see what happens February 1st. There's about 200,000 people that go through the airport every day without a real ID. Now, the interesting thing about their press release is that their headline said that you have a $45 option to travel without a real ID. Well, it's not an option.
No.
It's not an option. I guess you can pay the $45, but you will go through all of this stuff in order to get to fly. So if you want to fly, it's not an option at all.
So coming in February, then, if this does happen, we would have to, if we don't have a real ID, we have to pay $45. We're going to be put into a separate line. They're going to ask us for all those biometric things. Can we decline those at that time if we want to go on our plane?
And then you can go home.
So you cannot go anywhere.
Right. So it's not an option, right?
Okay.
But the interesting thing is that's what they had for the headline, right? $45 option if you don't have a real ID. So we've got all sorts of people asking us. So if we have a passport, we still have to pay the $45 because we don't have a real ID. Well, buried in the text, it talks about other acceptable ID, which of course includes a passport or a passport card. It includes a VA medical card. It includes a military ID. There are 16 different passports which you can fly. But Kristi Noem has taken great pains since this whole thing started as Secretary of Homeland Security to never mention all these other identification cards because the pressure is on to get you to submit. So that's why I said, it's fear, it's lying, it's, now it's punitive action. But the fact of the matter is you will not have to pay the $45 if you have a real ID. And so this is not what the media is saying, but this is the truth. I mean, you will not have to pay the $45 if you have a passport or a passport card. You do not have to have a real ID. You never have to have a real ID. And the real ID is also a violation of your constitutional rights. And they're trying to make you submit. Now, I know that our time is short. I think I should just tell you a few things that are being done. Okay, so yeah. We're working with legislators in 10 to 12 states right now, and hopefully more, with legislation to either, get themselves, the entire state, out of the Real ID program so they would never even issue Real IDs, or legislation that are poison pills, like you can't take a biometric photo, or you can't take one without their consent, or you always have to offer them a standard state driver's license. All sorts of things to thwart their plan to get everybody into a real ID. U.S. Senator Rand Paul, he has his repeal real ID bill. It's called Safeguarding Personal Information Act, and it is S-2769. And so everybody who is listening to this program should take just a moment. Go to Senator Paul's page, his website, and say thank you for the bill and ask him for a public hearing so that there can actually be a hearing on this to let the public know what the real ID really is. Then we did a legal analysis that was done by the former Solicitor General of Louisiana, who found that this was a novel form of coercion, a novel form of coercion, basically telling the states, yep, under the 10th Amendment, you don't have to submit. You don't have to do this, but we will not let your people fly. So he called it the federal commandeering of the states, which is against the 10th Amendment. And we are sharing this with AGs around the country in hopes that AGs will band together and come to the Trump administration and tell them that this is unconstitutional. It's a commandeering of the states. It's a usurpation of states' rights. And this is what AGs are supposed to do. Then you as people, there are people all over the United States who are opting out of real ID and getting back into a state driver's license. The federal government says 44% of all IDs are not real ID compliant. And we want to make that 46, 48, 50, 52, 55. We want to shut off their ability to do what they want to do so that we can keep our country free. Because if we ever have a social credit system in this country and we establish the rails and the foundation for it, which is what Real ID does, then now just imagine another administration, an AOC administration, a Gavin Newsom administration. Anybody who wants to charge us for carbon, right? What was that?
I said we're going to be seceding from the union. I think that's what it's going to be. So I do think there's, I mean, we're from the South. Remember that, Twyla? Like,
yes.
No, we don't want to do that. But what I am saying is, where's the pressure? And I love that you're outlining, because we all want to go do this immediately, because I think it's important to do it now while we have the administration that is more sympathetic to the cause of personal freedom, right? And so I want to understand why Kristi Noem is going along with this. Like, what are they being told, or what's the talking points to say that Real ID is good for our freedom? I'm not connecting that. Do you know what they're saying?
Yeah. So the two talking points are, it's going to stop illegal immigration and it's going to stop terrorists. Well, it's not going to do either of those things. And our legal analysis shows how true that is. So one, all those terrorists who went into the towers, they had legitimate ID. It was a legitimate ID. Now, if you think about terrorists, we've got homegrown terrorists probably today, you know, with all the different factions that are coming into our state, that have been let into our country. Well, they'll have legitimate IDs and they will commit acts of terror. New York and some other places are giving real IDs to illegals. They're giving it to illegals. And then there are 19 states, so they're giving driver's licenses to illegals. And so, you know, this is not going to stop either of these, but this is meant to make the American people feel calm. The American people should not feel calm. They should get educated and they should feel terrified at what would happen if Real ID is allowed to actually take over. And this is a federal takeover. This is actually a federal takeover of identification, of travel, and then eventually of potentially everything in your life, where if you don't have a federal ID under federal control, you won't be able to do it. That is completely the antithesis of 50 states who limited what the federal government could do and put it in the Constitution and said, there you shall stay and you shall go no further. Yeah. This nationalizing and identification is completely a usurpation of the states and the people.
Yeah. Wow. So what else can we do? Like, I know, obviously, besides, like, if you do not have a real ID, don't comply. There's number one. Number two, like,
if
as
you
far
do,
as
you can go back and get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
That's right. Go to refusereal ID.org. We've got a bunch of one pagers, even that you could hand out to your members of Congress or to your state legislators about reasons to repeal. Okay. So you really have to share the information. You know, we've been invited to give presentations, either webinars online, right, or just come to churches or come to other organizations, because the people have to hear. So whatever it is, you know, sharing this broadcast through social media, understanding, you know, even being at a party and saying, hey, pull out your ID. Let's see what you've got. Oh, you've got the federal ID under federal control that's setting up a national facial recognition system and potentially China's social credit system. I think you should get that changed.
Yeah.
You know, as simple as that, it's going to take a lot of people talking to all the people that they know. I talked to somebody at a party and he said, I love the real ID. And I said, well, clearly it's because you don't know what it is. And I said, this, right? And he said, oh, so it's going to be like Minority Report.
Yeah.
So all people have to do is open up their mouths, tell everybody that they know, share some of the one pagers, share a refuse real ID, tell them that they can get rid of their real ID unless they're in those five states or they have a rogue DMV agent.
Okay.
Is it a total pain in the butt to try to revert it? Like, if we were to go to the DMV and say, we want to take that, I mean, is it a simple process or are they going to put us through like all kinds of ringers and hoops?
No, it depends on the state and you won't know, but we have a lose your real ID one pager.
Okay.
Which is very extensive. But like, we had people in California say, well, it was easy peasy. Minnesota, people said, you know, not a problem whatsoever. Indiana is a problem. I'm not sure in North Carolina or South Carolina whether that's a problem or not. And wherever your viewers are, probably all over the country. You know, it just really depends on the state, depends on the DMV agent. And you can, like, in that lose your real ID one pager, it says, show me the policy that says I'm not allowed to have a state driver's license. Show me the policy that says I have to have a federal ID under federal control. Where is that law? Where is that regulation? So all of that is in the lose your real ID document. And you can go step by step if you need to, and if it's not easy. The other thing I should say is contact the White House. So I do believe it is on our refusereal.org site. It's probably pretty close to the top. It has two numbers for the White House. One is comments and the other is switchboard. I called them both at 9 p.m., which was 10 p.m. in Washington, D.C. The switchboard answered.
Oh.
And the comments are there 24/7. So I believe both of them are 24/7, and everybody should contact President Trump and say very nicely, tell President Trump that this is a federally controlled, unconstitutional ID, and please stop your Homeland Security, or just stop your administration from pushing this. It's wrong. It's against freedom. I don't actually believe that President Trump knows the full extent of what real ID is.
Oh,
so
sure.
If everybody can just tell him very nicely and firmly, please don't put us into a federally controlled identification system. Stop the real ID. Just say, stop the real ID. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. That big of a message just coming in, lots of people into the White House, it'll catch their attention.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, listen, Twyla, you've given us not only the information that we needed, but you've really made it easy for us to know next steps. We're going to put this together in a Substack as well. You can find us on Just Think Podcast on Substack, which will go out to all of our subscribers there. But any of you listeners can also find that information there. And we will just give you the links to everything that Twyla mentioned, which also is going to walk you through every step and action you need to take. And then all the information that you can go, please blast this out to all of your
friends. Please share this.
When you are at Christmas, maybe go around. Let's just, everyone show your IDs today. Let's see what they say. It can be a drinking game if you're into that. I'm just saying, make it fun to have uncomfortable conversations. We're great at it. We've been doing this since 2020. but no, seriously, Twyla, thank you so much for this.
Yes.
And we want to go and make sure we are supporting CCHF as well, because again, these organizations exist to help protect all of us, to stand for all of us, to give us all a voice, to make sure we stay free. And as Twyla said at the beginning, if you don't have your privacy, you're not free. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Twyla. We appreciate
you
so much.
Thank you.
Yes, that was amazing. Thank you.